Blog Talk Radio.
Before the intro song. Just one pick, one pick. Yeah, we're just having a good time, man, where the beer flows like nectar from the god's trough. We have a good time here. We party a little bit. We're celebrating. A lot of cool stuff happening right now. A lot of serious things going on in the world, and we're going to talk about some stuff, and we're going to over a lot of different stuff, and I'm going to have a little segment somewhere in here where I'm going to give my testimonial of how I became, went from apologist to atheist. So, might get a little choked up on it. It's kind of personal. Bad stuff went down and over the years, and I don't talk about it much, but by the request of quite a few people, I'm going to go over that tonight, lodge willing, and we'll get into that. But, first of all, I want to introduce to all you listeners out there my one of my best buds and co-host of the show, the irrepressible old DB. He is he's like the backbone of the show, man. He's got like the computer mind. He has he's got about 95% recall on the memory bank. He really carries the shows and keeps the topic flowing and keeps me on point. So without further ado, big part of the show, and the guy that is valuable beyond words for this show. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be doing it. Old DB, out there, buddy.
What's up, man? What's going on?
Nothing much. How you like that intro?
That was a little thick, man, but that's all right. I'll take it.
That was good. That was a little thick thing.
a little thick. What's
you're
happening,
like,
man?
Jesus,
what's going on?
Right. Nothing much, just sit back, having some cheap beer, Budweiser, and trying to figure out what the fuck's going on, man, in this world, just thinking about, all the bullshit that's going on in Iraq, and, just everything with from the week and a half ago with Obama and the terrorists for the prisoner, for the POW and all that shit, just trying to, trying to make
more shootings, more crazy ass shootings going on again this week. It's like a weekly thing, man.
It's like
I don't know.
Show up there.
Yeah, like a fewer religious shootings. I don't know. You see that one in Oregon? I think that was within the last week or 10 days. This kid went out and shot, I think, on a college campus, and he was actually a Mormon. He said he had these journals that they found, went back into his house and took for evidence, and he was a devout Mormon out to kill sinners. There you go.
That's
one,
weird.
One more time.
A Mormon.
Yeah.
You don't
radical
usually,
Mormon, dude.
Yeah, you know it's fucking bad when Mormons are out there fucking gunning people out in the streets.
Yeah, when the Mormons start turning crazy and violent, then a switch has flipped somewhere, man.
Isn't that a daisy?
Yeah, it's fucking daisy, all right.
But he was
15
years old,
man.
I guess it was in his own classroom is where he killed and then injured a teacher, killed a classmate, injured a teacher, and then shot himself. He was a religious fundamentalist who was out to kill sinners.
Right.
Well, that sounds
familiar. Right. Right, right.
Yeah, yep. A lot of forms of that going on, man.
Right.
No, 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 you're doing it all wrong.
This, I'm telling you tonight, dude, I don't know what it – this site is just all haywire for some reason. They were having problems with it they were having problems with it earlier today. I was getting on here trying to edit some tags for the show and stuff, and everything, all the format all looked different, and nothing would work, and everything would just spin and not load. I'm like, what is going on? So I thought it was
happen
all
a lot with Blog Talk, dude. When I did my other show, previous show to this one, we had times where we'd be calling in, and it wouldn't let us call into the show right at showtime. Like, it would not, it would just not let us on. So we'd be like 15 minutes late for our show. Finally, it would let
us in. Hey, quit praying on me, would you?
Yeah.
It's just crazy shit. I think in our show, it just took a while for us to figure it out again. It had been so long since I'd done it, I'd forgotten everything about it.
Right.
But every once in a while, it does that. It's fucking the internet, the Blog Talk just blows up, and you can't get into your show.
Jeez, that's great. Well, luckily, we've been able to get into it every time. It's
we're
just
here.
The last second somehow. Whether they want us or not, we make it on somehow.
they cut our legs off. We just come crawl. We still keep crawling towards it, man. They cut our arms off. We just chin our way forward, man. We just don't stop.
Right.
One way or another.
Keep going. Keep going no matter what they do to us. I tell you, dude, this fucking thing's starting to piss me off. I'm just like,
yeah,
God.
Dude, it might do that all night. I don't know. Sometimes it takes hours that's the other thing. You know how you can load songs and all that on, and obviously
right.
for your intro and stuff. And a lot of times, man, you couldn't even access that shit. None of the audio files. Be right in the middle of the show trying to load something, and then I'm talking about this, and then it wouldn't play.
Dude, I hit that about 10 seconds ago. The old massacre. I hit that a long time ago, and it just now came through. So
they must be getting
traffic
or something, man.
I bet the servers are overloaded. We are slow on the draw tonight, folks.
Yep.
I'm gonna have to know that I need it like 20 seconds before I need the drop. I'm gonna have to be clairvoyant and
I'll go if I'm talking. I'll go number five, and then you can start.
You go. I'm gonna talk about a mass shooting coming up. Hit that.
Get ready.
You just
get ready
for
gunshot sounds.
Gunshot. Just text me what you're gonna come say in like 30 seconds before you say it, and then I'll have it ready and ready to roll. And hopefully it'll hit at the same time.
Fuck, I don't know what I'm gonna say 3 seconds before I say it. So.
Yeah, you gotta start reading some Sam Harris, dude. He'll tell you there is no free will. That everything we say is from all of our experiences and informed way before we even do it. We don't even do anything that we want to do. You just do what we're programmed to do, It's
programmed by what? Genetics?
No, just from everything, your whole life. Every decision you make, there's no free will. You say, well, I could have did this or I could have did that. You were going to do exactly what you were going to do.
No, it's not God.
It's not predestiny.
I have a hard time believing
shit.
That's why I appreciate.
I'll get you the book after I read it.
You believe that everything's pre-programmed?
You have no choice.
You're gonna do
what you're gonna do.
I agree with that, but I don't know if it's been foreshadowed. You think your whole life is foreshadowed? Do you believe that?
Not foreshadowing the way we think. I mean, you can't think of it like that. It's just everything that we've all our experiences, the way you were raised, everything that's happened to you through your whole life, basically makes you make your decisions. Like, you can't think your thoughts before you think them. They come to you and you think them, and right as you're doing the stuff.
I see.
The thought comes to you. You can't pre-think your thoughts.
You don't offer your own thoughts. He's saying it's almost like primordial actions or something, huh? That it's like just been programmed into you from generations and generations, or from your childhood.
Yeah, well, it's like somebody that's a serial killer. They don't choose to become a serial killer. it's programmed into them. Oh. And then it's not a choice. It's not a choice.
I think everything
go.
Is a choice. I don't agree with that at all, dude. Yeah.
No, you do.
My philosophy is I think every single choice that you've made leads up to the point at this very moment in time. You know, that every single choice we've made in our lives has brought us to this phone call on Blog Talk Radio right here at this moment. And that's what I believe. It's all about choices. And, in fact, I think it's all. Your whole life is a just span of choices. And the road that your life follows down that track, whatever it is, it's always disjointed, you know, is all comes back to the choices you make in your life.
I'll get you that book, dude. It's really, really
I'll have to read it. I don't agree with this, so I'd be interested to see what
he has. There's a YouTube video. It's like an hour and a half long. It's a seminar. It's just called Sam Harris Free Will. Watch that video, and if you don't agree with the video or it just makes you mad or you don't want to hear any more of it, then you won't even want to read the book. So just watch the video if you get a chance. And it's pretty awesome because it causes you to have a lot more empathy for people instead of, you know, blaming everybody for everything that goes wrong and everything they do wrong. You're kind of like, it kind of makes you look like, oh, this is why people are the way they are, you know?
Yeah.
But we got a caller on, Dennis. This might be Crusher. I think it's from that Waco area code. So I think I'm going to try to, I don't, you know what? This is, I don't even know if I can even move this thing down to do anything.
Yeah, it might take a minute or two for him to join on, dude, if everything's running slow. Let him join on, see if he comes on. It may take 5-10 minutes for him to pop on. Who knows?
Let me see. I'm just trying to get a friggin' even a sample to play. Nothing will even play. Look at that. Look at what I'm doing here. You see that? This is great radio. Great radio, people.
Hey, thanks. In the meantime, dude, did you see that interview Stephen Hawking had with John Oliver, that guy that used to be on Daily Show? He's got his own show on HBO now.
Stephen, he's pretty funny.
Stephen Hawking did an interview with him. It's pretty funny. Hawking's actually somewhat funny. He calls Oliver an idiot. He goes, "You're an idiot." But they talk about something about that a little bit. It's this imaginary time thing. And I guess he's one of the people from the intro into the video that's accompanying this article on Raw Story. He's one of the people that's responsible for string theory, which I didn't know. I didn't realize that. But it's Stephen Hawking.
And they
talk about how they're, just like you were saying, man, that there are an infinite number of parallel universes that we all travel on. And we just happen to all be on the same track in this one right now, cruising through this life for about 60 to 90 odd years, depending on, you know, if you're lucky enough.
Right.
But it's a really good interview, and it's funny. You should check it out. So they have a little clip of it, and it's just like a 7-minute. I don't know if that's the whole interview or not, but it's pretty funny. And he talks. John Oliver goes, "So there's no possible universe where I would be able to date Charlize Theron. Is that what you're saying?"
Right.
And he goes, "Yes." And then halfway through the interview, he's making Hawking say these bullshit responses. You know, he's trying to set up some sort of joke. And Hawking goes, "You realize that this is difficult for me to type words out for this interview."
That's funny.
He's like, you know, stop fucking around and get to the point.
Yeah. I'm trying to have a serious interview and you're acting like an idiot.
Yeah, it was pretty funny though, man. It was good. It was a good interview. Check it out.
Yeah,
but
he's kind of like he does like the Colbert Show, but it's more risque because it's on HBO. I think we taped a couple episodes, but I haven't watched it yet.
HBO, and they can say basically what they want on it. You know.
Yeah.
You know what thing that's odd that maybe we'll have to talk about one show coming up or so. I like, you know, I'm into the future think and the technology and definitely obviously surveillance. I've talked about that quite a bit, but he's been talking a lot about artificial intelligence and the dangers of it, how computers can become self-aware and program themselves for improvements and overcome anything that the humans have loaded into their working system,
mm-hmm.
or their hard drive.
Yeah, it'd be like, end up being
and
like
that he's saying that they could become dangerous to humankind.
God,
and he's starting to talk a lot about it.
Oh, geez, yeah.
So
well,
I mean, it's a
on
whole.
That note, right. On that note, I did add Crusher to the mix. I think that's
Crusher's
him.
On.
Hey, Christ Crusher, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What up, man?
I had a hard time.
Everything's
good?
Running
so,
a little slow tonight, man.
Yeah.
Everything's a little
I
bit
a,
slow, so, including blog
I had
talk.
A sample, like 20 seconds later, it comes on. I don't know.
So, yeah, so let me
see.
So anyway, I mean, that's like that whole Stephen Hawking deal we'll have to talk about in another show, man. And it's pretty, you know, he's talking about these robots becoming self-aware and dangerous to humankind. And it's a whole Terminator scenario. Completely, man,
right.
You know? It's
right.
The exact thing that they already made a movie of, three of them.
Right.
So, anyway,
right.
It's crazy. So what's up with you, Crusher? How's it going tonight, man?
Pretty good, man. Just
yeah.
got off work.
Right on.
Well, when I finally
right.
got off, I didn't have anybody to thank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can thank goodness. Well, say, look at that. I hit that robot one, DB, about 30 seconds ago, and it finally came through.
Yeah, it's got to be the server.
You're about
probably
that.
Just hammered right now. So.
I hit that, and it comes through. So you can't thank God, Crusher, but you can thank goodness, right?
I guess I could thank goodness, yeah. I
yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. So what's going on? You been having any crazy things going on Facebook with you lately?
Oh,
I was saying you have all
much.
Kinds of crazy people hit you up on Facebook.
Yeah, I get a few of them every now and then.
Yeah,
I know.
Just exposing these damn charlatans on Facebook, man. I'm getting real tired of them, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
like, some of the shit that they're saying is ridiculous. You know, you got that Joshua guy. You know, just the internet's burned out of him already, you know. He has no idea
right.
what he's talking about. He just gets in front of a fucking camera and starts flapping. You don't know what he's talking about.
Oh,
everybody's...
I know you're talking about. You're talking about that heavy set guy with a short black beard.
Yeah, Kevin James.
He talks real fast. Yeah, that guy's a clown, man.
Yeah, dear Mr. Atheist, let me destroy evolution for you in 3 fucking minutes. Okay. Yeah, that guy.
You got to watch his videos, or at least one of them, Dennis. He's pretty funny. He thinks he's so slick, and he half the stuff he says isn't even, I don't know where he's getting his information from, but he's just a total bullshit artist.
Mix it up.
When I laugh, it's kind of like a sad laugh, because I know people are eating that shit up, and they're believing everything that he's saying. You know, that's what irritates me about him. You know, I've seen
really
people
not funny.
Taking up for him, you know, and you know, and people
yep.
coming in and trying to, you know, put him on Front Street, and then you got all these people that are like, oh, he does know what he's talking about. So when you see comments like that, you know, it burns me up. Like, you know, he doesn't even know what he's saying.
Well, it's just like
it's
that one meme they had. It's just like that one meme that has been went around the last couple of days with Dahmer going to heaven because he became a Christian right before he died, and then Jeffrey
Dahmer.
Yeah,
you see all
the
people defending him now on the internet,
all
the Christians defending him now?
Yeah, saying welcome to heaven, we love you, Jeffrey,
yeah.
and all this and that. I'm like, man.
You've been forgiven. We forgive you.
Yeah, don't you know how bad that makes you look? That makes you look so bad. I'm sure the victims of the families of his victims just love to see that shit.
Right.
They're probably just loving that, right?
Yeah.
That's horrible. That is horrible. If you really feel that way, keep it to yourself. You look like an asshole. I mean, it's really,
you know,
really.
There's some Christians that will probably tell you, you know, he's not going to heaven. But then you got to wonder, well, why not? You know, and how can they say he's not when he accepted offenses and all that? Then I think
according
that's
to their...
the truth. The no true Scotsman fallacy, and you know, they're like, oh, he was never a real Christian, so he's not going. I mean, he could have truly
right.
believed on his deathbed, you know?
Right. So, yeah,
you know,
I don't know. I mean, you know, that whole did you truly believe? That's like I was going to, you know, tell my testimony and like what I went through tonight. And people, I've had a lot of people ask me that, and they would say the same thing. They said, you didn't truly believe. And I said, that's bullshit. I was totally sold out, and I will explain it later on how truly entrenched and how much I really believed, because I was doing stuff that was not, I mean, was insane. Unless you truly believe that you had the Holy Spirit in you and that you were Christ had saved you, you wouldn't have done the things that I was doing. So, I mean, you know, I was totally sold out. I was 100% bought and sold, man. I was one of the flock, man. I was in the fold, you know. I did all that stuff, speaking tongues, you know, prayed for the sick, you know. I did all that stuff. I mean, you know, told people they were healed even though they weren't, you know. So, I mean,
you know, I'm wondering. I bet there's a lot. You should start a group on Facebook or something for like reformed born again Christians or something. You know, where
they.
I'm sure there's a lot of people like you nowadays. You know, that went through being born again and then rejected it later at a later date. You know, because of just like you know. So there's got to be quite a few people out there now because there's, I mean, so many people across the board rejecting religion nowadays, you know. I mean, religious people that are starting to lose their religion. And I wonder how many that is for people that are born again and then finally give it up.
Well, didn't they say, I can't remember what the numbers are, but there's so many, like, thousands every year now. Churches are just closing down. I mean, they said church attendance is definitely falling in America, which is, you know, I think a good sign that people are, you know, becoming more rational thinking and, you know, realizing that, hey, this is a, you know, once money gets involved and they've got to make money and the churches are in business of making money, that it's just a business, you know, and it isn't this magical, you know, life that everybody thinks it is, you know, with healings and miracles and people being raised from the dead and all that. It ain't happening. It doesn't happen. It's the Bible says it'll happen, but it doesn't happen, you know. I was talking a week ago with somebody on there, and there's a handful of people I've talked to on some of them Christian sites. I could tell they're right on the verge, man. I could just see the crack of light in their you know, their mind that they're you know, they're thinking, you know, I'll say something, and I could tell they're thinking about it. They're, you know, there's so many people that are right on the verge of, you know, getting the eureka moment where they're like, eureka, I understand now. And I was talking with this guy I can't remember where I was going with it now. And just talking about healings and stuff, and, you know, you don't see this stuff happening. And he was like, well, he goes, it does happen in missionary areas and third world areas all the time. We always hear missionaries coming back with these miraculous stories. And I'm like, yeah, but it's always in these, like, voodoo bullshit, you know, tribal areas where the people are, you know, super superstitious to begin with. You know, it's always some weird angle, you know. It's never anything verifiable, you know. And,
well, you know, in a modern country, it just doesn't happen because you can't, you know, there's enough there to verify it, whether it be cameras or, you know, scientists, whatever, and obviously it's not happening. I mean, it would happen everywhere around the world if it were
true.
And so
the guy does get cured of cancer. I mean, people recover from cancer. So somebody is cured from tuberculosis or whatever disease you can think of. How come
it happens?
You know, okay, it happens. But
it happens.
How come we never see any amputees cured? Grow an arm, grow a leg. God can't do that. You know, it doesn't happen. You know, no amputees are ever healed.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, you just
people get sick. Some people get very sick. Some people get better. Some people die from getting very sick.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of law of probability more than anything, man. I mean, you know, some sicknesses are worse than others. More people die from it, and some people get better, no matter what it is. I mean, you see people getting better from cancer all the time, unexplainably, you know, a total recovery.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's like a message from God or God's work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a probability that sometimes that's going to happen. You know, and it's that old thing that we're going back to. Well, you got to blame him for the cancer in the first place then. You know, you can, hallelujah,
yeah,
God saved me from this cancer. Well, no, he gave it to you. Why would he even bother giving it to you in the first place and then later on save you from the same cancer he gave you?
So,
hey, what,
so he's glorified.
You know? Right.
It's known to, cancer is known to go into remission. You know, it's known to do that. You know, then when it does, you know, it is automatically a miracle. You know, then sometimes it's going to come back and it's going to take that same person out. You know, then what do you say then? You got to, these people, you got to think, you know, doesn't that, don't you think that would, like, spark a, you know, a doubt in their mind? Like, you know, we was just praising God for his remission. Now it's come back and it's taking them out. You know, that's got to put something there. Or, you know, I guess some of them just write it off as God works in mysterious ways, or it was his time, or, you know, God always gets the scapegoat on it. He never gets the responsibility of the cancer itself.
Right.
Yeah, right. It's like
always,
that.
You always give him the glory, but nobody ever blames anything on him.
Yeah. We were talking a couple shows ago about that tornado that happened in Arkansas or Missouri a couple years back, and Wolf Blitzer went out on site. The whole town got wiped out. And he kept asking this girl over and over, well, you guys, didn't you think, you know, they were inside and their entire house was completely collapsed around them and they came out almost unscathed. And he goes, you know, and they walk out and they were talking about seeing the town for the first time afterwards and it being all wiped out and stuff. And Wolf Blitzer goes, well, didn't you just thank God when you came out and you were alive? Didn't you thank God? And he kept pushing her, and the chick finally returning with, "No, I'm an atheist. I'm just thankful that we're here, you know." And really, what you got to say is, why, God, did you do all this in the first place? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What the fuck were you doing? You're the one that wiped all these people out and killed them in the first place, and then I'm going to come out and praise you? You know?
Yeah,
right.
And it's always the gay's fault, but it goes right through the Bible Belt. You know, takes out all the believers, you know.
Yeah.
The
atheist is the one that survives.
Yep. Tornado Alley atheist.
Yeah, they'll just say that God's being patient with him.
Sorry, guys.
What the hell
that
is that?
That was from like a minute ago.
What is
that?
That
was a swap sound. Swap sounds from like a minute ago.
All right.
Oh boy, it's gonna be a rough one tonight.
So, but that's the whole thing, man. They want it's always in that direction, always that manner. You know, never to blame, always to praise. They're so thankful about Noah's Ark, not the fact that God wiped out the entire population of the world except for this boat.
Yeah,
saved
six people.
Don't hold them accountable.
People.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, God's supposed to have another set of morality that we can't touch. Anything he does is good, no matter what.
Yeah,
we have to live.
He works in mysterious ways.
I thought he was supposed to lead by example. You know, we teach ourselves to lead by example, but when it comes to the divine, he gets a pass again.
Yeah. All right. That's always the default, no matter what. If there's some sort of contradictory issue with the Bible or something that's absolutely unbelievable, he works in mysterious ways. He just can't explain it.
Yeah.
You know, it's always the fallback, man. It's ignorance. I choose to not understand that certain concept that clearly shows that there is no existence of God. You know.
Because for a lot of people, I think it lingers with them. They say these things and, you know, dig holes they can't get out of, you know, trying to justify things when it comes down to like Passel's wager, you know what I mean? I think it always has a lot to do with not wanting to break the gospel, you know, the thing. Well, what if there is, you know, and then, we obviously know that your faith isn't true and you think your God is too stupid to know the difference. So it's a defunct thing. The what-if thing doesn't work. I mean, your faith is either true or it's not. But, you know, you can't tell them that for the most part.
Well, you know, if you're doing the work of God, man, you're beyond reproach. I mean, look at into the pedophilia going on, man, whatever else. It doesn't matter because you're doing the work of God. You know,
I can't believe
go
how
out
much
and do
stuff
whatever you need
to
do. It doesn't matter. You're doing the work of God.
Some of the most high-profile serial killers were Christian, and many of them were known to quote verses from the Bible to as their reason for what they were doing.
Well, you know, John Wayne Gacy, man, he used to quote passages from the Bible while he was killing little boys and little and young men, while he was stabbing and murdering, dismembering. He would quote, you know, verses from the Bible, and then bury the body under his house.
So did Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. I was thinking of Pulp Fiction when you said that.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Gacy was even more violent.
Dahmer's father was a pastor, and he was raised super religious.
Was he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. I think some of this religious upbringing, some of these people that keep being told they're bad their whole life, you know, they're corrupt, they're sinful, they're bad, their heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. You keep telling a little kid that when they're little, I think sometimes they grow up and they actually believe that shit, and then they're fucking horrible, and they end up being a monster. Their brain is so fucking warped and crazy from the way, you know, the way they're brought up.
They're distorting their entire reality of things to the child. And the child grows up, you know, in a delusion of what he was taught or she was taught, and you know that can manifest into something way more serious.
You tell a little child that they're bad, they're full of original sin, they're bad. When are you gonna get saved? Okay, you're 10 now, you're 11, you're almost the age of reason. When are you gonna get saved? You're bad. And if they believe that the only way they're going to be good is through some kind of magical transformation, saying these magical words and believing with all their heart, and then if they don't believe that they believe with all their heart, then they're fucked, and then they're nuts, and they got this psychosis. And a lot of people go through their whole lives, and some people don't become serial killers, but some people do. Some people are just, you know, you're just fucked up the rest of your life, and you're living in this psychosis, and it's harder than hell to break out of it. And I can attribute it. You know, I'm a testimony to that. It took me 40 years to really get out of that shit. I mean, I wasn't really, really free from that religious haze, that God-brained, as Hell Broke Loosely puts it. I wasn't really out of that for like 40 years. By the time I was 40, it really started fading away. But it's fucking hard, man. It's really, really hard to get out of it. And it's
really confusing also for the kids that grow up, you know what I mean? They're homosexual, you know, and then they have, you know, they're trying to find themselves or they're trying to find who they are, and, you know, and it's a real mind fuck for them even more with religion.
Right.
And, you know, they want to believe that, but then at the same time, you know, just like this, they know this God is, you know, shaming them is what they were taught. So it's a real, it really fucks them up too.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, though, it isn't that leprechaun in the sky that's shaming them. It's the bigots out there that, you know, the hate bigots. And, it always comes down to those haters are always the ones that end up, especially about gay people, the worst haters are the ones that end up being gay themselves. I mean, these preachers that end up doing meth with male prostitutes or been found in Europe with a young 20-something boy, you know, traveling the European continent with, you know, on and on. I mean, you know, and all the politics, senators, House of Representative people, most of the people that are so vehemently against gay people, gay marriage, gay rights, end up being gay over and over and over again.
Yeah, every time, almost every time.
The guys that end up beating the shit, you know, I find that's you see pictures of like even these guys that beat the shit out of gay people, you know, and you look at those guys. Usually it's three or four. They all look alike. They all look gay. That end up beating the shit out of the gay guy. I mean, they all look like they're like trying to beat the gay out of themselves, you know, when they're beating the shit out of some dude.
Yeah, I've always said in most cases, hatred, you know, is a reflection of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's something they're trying to repress or deny, and you know, and take it out on people, and it's never a good outcome.
Yeah, I wonder what happened. Like Ted Haggard's a good example of that. You know, that dude in Colorado, he had a mega church, vehemently opposed, and that was the example I was using against gay marriage, gay rights. You know, and comes out, ends up finding out he's been.
That's all I have to say about that.
In a hotel room with male prostitutes. I mean, I wonder what happened to his flock. I mean, they got. I assume they're still all there, with just a different. They just keep cruising on, I guess, huh? They can't be like take a step back and be like,
I don't know how they do it.
Stupid.
I don't know how they do it. Right.
How could you keep going to that same church? You know, I'm sure it's still a huge church, tons of followers.
You know, I was wondering, anybody watch the 700 Club anymore?
I don't know.
You know
that thing is that fucking show is franchised out to everywhere. It's on the ABC Family Channel at nighttime. You know, and that son of a bitch says some of the most heinous things in the world.
Speaking of Pat Robertson.
We've had shows about Robertson, man. We talked about some of the crazy shit he said already.
Did you see he's ripping the GOP for saying we ought to go back over to go back into Iraq. Oh, he's ripping Bush and all them guys, you know,
yep.
Mitt Romney, all them. He's like, what do you mean
I'm
we need to go back in there? He's ripping them. He's ripping them.
He unloaded on Bush. He said we were sold a bill of goods on Iraq.
Right.
And it isn't. Right. I can't believe that he's coming out saying that kind of shit. Ruined the Republican Party. The Tea Party was responsible.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
Go.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You know, all of him signing the Patriot Act and that fucked up, you know, all the shit that went down after 9/11, how the police are becoming. The Tea Party is a response to that, and the money, obviously. They bitch about all the money we're spending, which I think is legitimate to a certain extent. But, you know, it was a response to a lot of it was because of the Patriot Act and shit like that, man. I mean, Bush was, I think, responsible for where the GOP is today. And they're fucked up. They're messed up. They're torn up. So it's probably a good thing because they were, you know, they were a hate machine, man.
Yeah,
they were,
fuck them.
They were fucking stamping hate in every little box, man, and sending it out through Fox News.
Right. I may have my samples back here. I don't know. I noticed something.
Starting to come around.
There was this little message up in the upper left, I noticed it was saying it Blog Talk wasn't responding. Now that went away, so I'm thinking it might be, I'm hoping it might be working up, but it still seems a little slow. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, on about Friday, I was absolutely fucking livid. I watched a little bit of the news on it. You know, showing this that Iraq's falling into the hands of the whatever ISIS and all that. And I was getting so fucking mad. I was like literally turning red, and I was steaming just thinking about all the trillions of dollars we pissed away fighting that fucking war, and all the people that died. You know,
5,000 somewhere around there, 4,500,
4,000, whatever. All the people that died going to that. You know, and all the civilians that died for us being over there. You know, fighting because you don't know who's a terrorist and who ain't. You know, it's just it's as bad as Vietnam was because you know you couldn't tell who the Viet Cong were and who were the you know regular Vietnamese. So
yeah.
I mean, it's a horrible thing, and then all the people's lives that are ruined because of that, and then it's just all going to go for naught. You know.
Yeah.
And
I
don't think the answer. I don't think the answer is to go back over there. I think the answer is to fucking. Skull fuck these motherfuckers that sent us over there in the first place that fucking robbed all that money, all these cocksuckers with their with their corporations, Dick Cheney and all these motherfuckers that made billions and billions of dollars and wasted trillions and trillions of dollars. These are the motherfuckers that got to pay for this.
Yeah.
It was like that one meme that had that Marine that said wrote it to Mitt Romney. He said, I'm not going back over there until you go over there, Cheney, Rumsfeld, not Pat Buchanan. I don't know. He lifts a bunch of people. What's her name? The blonde chick.
Coulter.
You were bitching about last week. Coulter, Ann Coulter, Limbaugh. All you assholes, get over there. As soon as you get over there and get in the Vanguard, I'll be right behind you.
Yeah.
But, you know they ain't gonna do it. They're all just a bunch of fucking chicken hawks and wasting their money. you know.
That shit was decided. I mean, you know, even fucking Michael Moore in Fahrenheit 9/11 talked about. They sat there. I mean, as the Pentagon was smoking, he was Bush was in meetings with, you know, some Saudi Arabia. I think it was the king or prince or something, which they're of course good family friends with. And
right.
You know, within a couple of days, they were making plans on Iraq. There were several members of his cabinet that said, you know, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. I mean, so many people think that
right.
Iraq somehow did so. Nothing. I mean, what was
yeah.
it? 15 of the 19, something like that, were supposedly Saudi Arabians.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And
that's
my
whole thing. They always blame it on Al Qaeda, too, with bin Laden. Do we even really know that he did it? I don't think he did. He always denied it. If he was, terrorist groups would want, you think you would want to be able to claim that they did that. Why would you deny it? You know?
The fishiest fucking thing is, I mean, Bush and his daddy, Senior, were over there fucking hanging out with the bin Laden family in Saudi Arabia on numerous occasions.
Right.
I mean, they're good, close personal friends, you know, and then suddenly one of these rogue sons of the family is the one responsible. Fucking, he's on dialysis in a cave somewhere.
Right.
You know, championing this fucking massive coordinated effort against the United States. Ridiculous. Anyway, back on that. But you know, I mean, some of the things because of Iraq. I mean, you look at the thing that came to my mind right away when you're talking about fabricating shit was Colin Powell holding up that fucking vial of supposed anthrax at the UN meeting.
Right.
He had a little vial and he held it right up for everybody to see, saying they're producing this right now over in Iraq, ready to use it on, you know, on their poor old citizens, you know,
right.
we've got to stop it, and then it's nuclear weapons, mobile, you know,
right.
WMD weapons, and just such bullshit, and then he flies onto the fucking carrier and says mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Right.
Look at where
right.
the fucking country's at right now.
I know.
You know.
And then if they didn't have weapons, they got them now. You know, after
right.
all our shit.
Well, dude,
we
did
left
you see what's happening?
Iraq
what they're doing?
They
they're making a deal with Iran. They're bringing in two or three. I don't know what Iran calls them, but those fucking special Quds forces, QUD. And the U.S. literally is making a deal with Iran to bring in like two or three divisions into Iraq to bring the country under control.
You got to be shitting me.
No, I look it up, dude. Google that shit. The U.S. is making a deal with Iran to bring in their elite like legions into the country to gain control off of those insurgents. Uh-huh. And on top of it, Iraq is gone as a country, dude. On top of it, the Kurds, which have a huge population in eastern Turkey and northern Iraq, they're also attacking the country. They've been wanting their own country for years. They've been trying to form Kurdistan for years. And in Turkey's been bombing them forever, like 15 years now, 20 years. And and now they're attacking northern Iraq. They're taking over parts of northern Iraq. That country's fucking split up, dude. Completely split up now.
You can try to cheer me up.
isn't that shit crazy? I mean, mission accomplished to fucking 10 years later, it's not even a country anymore, barely.
Right.
Crazy.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I don't know, man. It's an insane world, and most of that, all that. I mean, you know, it's all religion, the Kurdish religion. They're claiming they can't even say it's Al Qaeda anymore. That's taken over Iraq again. It's some Muslim factions joining together to take the country over.
Yeah.
It's all religion again.
How you say it? Sunni Muslims or Sunni Muslims?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sunni will fight the Shiites forever.
Yeah.
The Sunnis are the ones that are
Al Qaeda.
Well, the Sunnis are, unless I'm mistaken, they're like the Iranian backed ones, right? And the Shiites were the ones that we put in power, basically in Iran. I thought that's what we gave them the country, basically. So unless somebody wants to call in 646-595-4686 and correct me, but I'm not sure. But
I always get the two confused, but I know, like, Saddam was part of the minority. There were Sunni and Shiite, and one of them was the minority, and Saddam was that part of that group. So the minority held control of Iraq for years. And when Saddam went away, the majority came in and started fucking them up. That's what started happening.
Right.
So Saddam was part of the minority. Let me see if I can find it. But, yeah,
well,
so that's why
it's
so fucked up. I mean, it's totally split up.
I thought Saddam was, like, against al-Qaeda. I thought he was an enemy of al-Qaeda for the longest time. That's what I thought. And then all of a sudden they were trying to act like he was an ally of it. I'm like, wait, he ain't no fucking ally of al-Qaeda. He was like a modernist, you know. He wasn't like hardcore Islam, you know.
No.
Iraq was more, you know, they were a more progressive country under him. I mean, other than he treated them like crap, but you know, they weren't as hardcore Islam as I thought when he was there. You know, they had a little bit of Western stuff going on there, Western influence in their culture and stuff. It seemed like to me.
Yeah.
Iran back to the fucking Stone Age.
Iran's the same way, man. They're pretty cosmopolitan. I mean, everyone thinks of Iran as, I mean, they are run by by religious law. But they are actually somewhat cosmopolitan also, and you see pictures of Iran, you're surprised that you would never guess that they'd be out of Iran.
Right. I know the young people. Go ahead, Chris.
They just made it illegal to be an atheist over in Iran, didn't they?
Oh, probably, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. killed them all. I mean, you know.
I just seen right before we came on, I just seen a story of that teacher, I can't remember what state it was, Indiana or something, just got fired for being an atheist. I didn't read the story, I just saw the headline. Some high school teacher got fired for being an atheist, some old guy.
I saw that, Indiana.
Wow.
Indiana.
Yep.
Right. So basically, here we go again with the American Taliban.
Christian.
Yeah. So I guess Saddam was a Sunni. So yeah, and they were
that's right.
Yeah, and they were the minority, and now the Shiites have control of the country. But it's just all fucked up.
We gave it over.
I guess
the
a lot of those insurgents coming into Iraq were coming from Syria now. So that whole fucking area is in trouble, man. Who knows what's going to happen. Yeah.
Right.
So now we're basically dealing with Iran, giving them the lease to take over Iraq.
Now we're working with Iran.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. How can any fucking State Department person or anything or military or president or anyone get up in front of anybody with a straight fucking face and say, this is what we're going to do? Now these guys are our enemy. Now they're our allies. They were our enemies forever, and now they're our allies again. They were our allies in the 50s too, you know. But we made them the enemy. You know, it's so.
We just have a common enemy, I think.
Well, it's starting again too. It looks like Obama's telling Congress we're putting like a few hundred troops back into Iraq again. So,
a few hundred.
Probably just fired the embassies and shit, and you know.
Yeah.
But. More reason for the Republicans to get, you know, another embassy fucking...
Right. Right, right.
We'll be cleaning this mess up for another 10 years.
Yeah, at least, man. Surprised we ever left, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's just Obama trying to keep some ridiculous random promise that, you know... We still had some troops in there anyway, but, you know... I'm sure the orders are do not get involved. The last thing Obama wants now is casualties again in Iraq. Can you imagine that shit?
Right.
After he promised to get everybody out. So who knows? I mean, he's in a fucking pickle over there. He, you know, all the promises he made about Iraq, and now he's talking about sending more troops back in.
Right. Has he said that? I haven't heard him say that.
Yeah, I'm looking
looking
at a deal right now saying he's sending up to 275 troops to Iraq.
Yeah, I heard something about he was sending us back over.
Yeah. Well, I can understand if they're trying to protect the embassy, but Might need to, if it gets that bad, they may need to just get the people out of there. You know, just fucking give it up. I mean, I know they probably don't want to do that, but, I mean, that's just a fucking cut your losses at this point, I guess. It's so bad. You're about 5 seconds away from hearing a fucking laptop being broken in half. This thing is just driving me nuts, dude. It just keeps freezing up. I don't know. It might even be my computer, too. I just cannot figure it out. But
well, whatever, man. You know, it's probably going to be like that all night, me and my guess. So let's get into your story, dude. I want to enough with the bullshit tonight. Let's hear
right.
it. Get into it. Let's hear what's going on here, and stop dicking around with the computer and hemming and hawing and.
I wanted to be able to have some samples going while I was doing it, but apparently I'm not going to be able to do it. You know?
Oh, come on. Can't do it without samples.
I needed some drops.
Just reenact
it. It all started back when I was in school.
7 years of college down the drain.
Right. No, seriously, I'll get into it. I was just going to kind of give my whole background and kind of what I went through, and then there's just a couple, I would say highlights, but a couple exciting things or bad things that happened that were probably real big, now that I look back at it years later, were probably big swings in my mindset of the way I thought about religion and faith and everything and belief. But I was raised Catholic as a young child, and I went to a Catholic private school till fifth grade. And I was an altar boy, and don't ask me if I was abused by a priest or anything. The funny thing is, I don't remember anything about my childhood previously until like 11 years old. From like 10 till I was a baby, I do not remember anything, nothing. I have no memory. So I don't know what happened. All I know is I was an altar boy for like a couple years. That in itself may be something. I have to go to some deep therapy to figure out what was going on there. But we moved when I was in fifth grade. We moved out to the country where, you know, I started going to school with you out there, DB, and in fifth grade, and I got out of the Catholic school and everything, got into the heathen secular public school. And but my mom kept me going. We kept all the kids in catechism, so we went to catechism until we were confirmed, eighth grade and everything. All the way eighth grade. Once I got into high school, we didn't have to go no more. She kind of fell away as I got older. She kind of fell out of the church. She wasn't going every Sunday anymore, my mother. And it was more like just going on holidays. And she was just more of a, I don't know, she always had her faith, and she always said, you got to keep your faith, keep your faith, keep your faith. But I knew it was all bullshit. It just rang hollow with me. And as I got older and older, I didn't believe it. So I enlisted in the Air Force when I was 17, and like a year before actually getting out of high school. And then I went right after the summer of high school, heavy summer of partying and going crazy for one last summer. I went in the Air Force in September of 86 and just really partied hard the whole time I was in there, and you know, made a couple cool friends and everything. But I went overseas for a year and a half in Portugal, and we were on an island over there, and it was just kind of, I just got really lonely over there and kind of depressed, and I knew I wasn't real happy. And I got back into the States. I was stationed, my last base was in South Carolina, and I met a buddy down there, and all of a sudden he went from hard party and wild man to one day all of a sudden he was completely different. He was just a weird cat. He was real quiet, he was strange, he was carrying around a little book with him all the time. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? It was just the weirdest thing. I couldn't, you know, figure out what was, you know, and he actually was a roommate of mine for a short time, but then he moved out of my room, out of our room, and I was like, this is weird, you know, he wanted to get out of the room, you know, and I was drinking every night and everything, and I noticed he wasn't drinking, he wasn't going to the bar no more, and I just thought it was the weirdest thing. And then finally he told me, he said, I'm going to church. He goes, I accepted Christ, I'm saved, now I'm born again. I was like, what? The weirdest thing. He's like, you got to come with me. You got to come to our church. And so I go to, I'm like, all right. So I go to this, I've been to church before. I'm like, it's probably no big deal. So I go to this church. This is 89, July 23rd. 1989. I go to this church, and it's like a Southern Baptist church, all black people. Me and my buddy are the only two white people in the whole church, and the place is just rocking. It's like 200 screaming, you know, singing, jumping, put the whole building shaking. It was just like electric. I was like, holy crap, you could just feel the energy in there. I was like, wow, this is insane. And I went through the whole thing, man. After the service, they would have a what they called a deliverance service, and it didn't matter if it took an hour, 2 hours. I think I went up there. They called everybody up who hasn't been saved. So you go up there, they make you get on your knees, and they make you sit there and pray and tarry. They call it tarrying for the Holy Ghost till you're saved. So you get you on your knees, and people just lay hands on you, and you basically just keep praying. Keep saying Jesus, 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 or praying or whatever until it turns into gibberish, and then that's when they say you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when it turns into tongues. So it was pretty crazy, and I did that. I was up there for shit two and a half hours, and I finally, you know, I was like, Jesus, 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 2.5 hours later, I'm like, gosh, you know, whatever, fucking tongues. And, you know, so now I'm saved, you know. I'm like, I quit drinking immediately, quit swearing. I smashed all my heavy metal tapes and CDs. I was like, you know, buying all Christian rock and Christian music, and buying Christian T-shirts and you're going to go to hell shirts, you know, and going around handing out tracts and just being a total wacko, you know, thinking I'm just the greatest shit. I'm, you know, I'm saved and all this and that. So I come back. I get out of the Air Force. You guys still there? I'm just droning on. Okay. So I get out in 1990, I get out of the Air Force, and I go back, me and my family, I'm, you know, witnessing to everybody, witnessing to my family, a lot of my friends and stuff. You know, a few of my friends get saved, my brother gets saved. I'm thinking, wow, this is, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit's working through me and stuff. But I was a hypocrite, too. I would still drink once in a while, you know, but then I would feel guilty about it and get back into it and, you know, repent. And so I was, like, back and forth for years. And, but I always felt like special and everything, and I'm doing, you know, I'm getting all these people saved, and, you know, then I get into a Christian metal band, and I start doing, I'm doing albums and, you know, recording stuff and playing tons of shows with all these big supposed Christian bands, and we're doing all this stuff, and me and my ex-wife, we had gotten into a church, and it was a real, you know, crazy kind of Southern Pentecostal church. You know, they tell you to take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground, you're running around, you know, everybody's, you know, testifying, and you'd have people have a word of knowledge, and people be falling on the ground, shaking, bouncing around, and I'm in all this, you know, and I'm feeling like big shit, because, you know, I could tell the pastor liked me a lot, and he'd have me speak and say things, and, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm kind of like the young gun, you know. So we'd have these prayer meetings. If somebody was having a real bad problem, they would refer them to, like, a prayer group or whatever. So me and my wife, we had these people over. She had knew this one lady from high school, and she was married to this guy. And he had he was a chemist. He worked at the water treatment plant down here in South Detroit, and down by Delray, the wastewater treatment plant. He was a chemist there, real smart guy and everything. And he had having a mental breakdown, and they found him walking naked down a road. He was just kind of freaked out or whatever. And they diagnosed him with schizophrenia. So he's, this is where it really kind of turned bad for me, and I've seen the bad side of religion. So we have this prayer meeting with him, and we do like what the Bible tells, you know, we anoint him with oil, we're all praying over him and everything and this and that. And he's on these heavy-duty psychotropic drugs and all this shit, you know. You could tell he wasn't there because his eyes looked real crazy. He had that, you know, kind of that look that schizophrenic people have in their eyes when they get it. And so we have this prayer meeting with him, and I, you know, we pray over him, and he's like, I think I'm healed. And I tell him, you know, like, according to scripture, I go, you are healed. I'm like, go and sin no more, you know, just like Christ would say. And you know, he goes, and, you know, it was weird because it's like, I had a feeling, I'm like, he's not healed. You know, even though I believed in healing, I'm just like, I don't think he's healed. But yet he quits taking his medicine and everything, and, you know, and all that. Well, it wasn't long after that. It might have been about a year later. I'd gotten out of that church, and we had moved on to somewhere else, some other church, and we had moved. We weren't even living in the same place anymore. I heard that this guy had killed his dad. He stabbed him to death. And that was probably about 95 or 96. And it didn't really hit me. I was so deluded in my thinking. I was like, I just like brushed it off. Like, he's fucking nuts, you know, and he wasn't saved. He wasn't healed. He didn't do, you know, what he should have been doing. I just brushed it off. I like just justified it. And I never thought about it. I probably thought about it about 4 or 5 years later when about 99, my ex-wife had left me, my daughter left, and I was at a real low point in my life. I was working in the steel mill. I was tired, behind on all my bills, behind on my mortgage. She kind of screwed me over financially. I was just tired. I was kind of destitute, drinking all the time, just really not treating myself good, not treating my body good. And the whole, it was right about the time was the whole Y2K thing, you know, right at the end of 99. I had friends, you know, stocking up water and food and everything, and everybody's like, the computer's all going to go down. And nothing happened then, right? You know, nothing really major happened. And it was right about that time, like probably that right after the first of the year, I started thinking about, you know, I'm getting this weird feeling that this whole religion, this whole Christian thing is a bunch of bullshit. I was just like, it was just starting to hit me that something wasn't right. I wasn't going to church no more. I didn't believe in it. I had talked to this one pastor and told him, you know, I don't believe it. I think I'm losing my faith. I don't believe it. He was getting all mad and everything. And, I was just like, something would sit with me. And that came back to my mind about what had happened with that guy killing his father and that I had prayed for him. And it really hit me. The weight of it hit me at that moment. Like 5 years later, it finally hit me. I was like, you know, I really killed that guy. I mean, I'm kind of like responsible because I told the guy, you're healed, you know, you don't need no medicine, you're fine, you know, you claim your faith, name it and claim it, go and live your deliverance and your healing, believe it, you know, go and sin no more. You know, and it's just that kind of, it really hit me. I'm like, who the fuck am I, or anybody for that matter of fact, to tell somebody that shit? Or to say, and that's what religion really does to you. It deludes your fucking mind so bad and warps your thinking that you think you can, I mean, if you're really living the Bible and you're living the scripture the way it says you are, you're living in that, and you're insane. You're literally fucking insane. And you can tell somebody who's sick that needs to be on this medicine that could save their life or somebody else's life that you're fine, just you don't need it. Go and, you know, you're saved, you're healed, you're fine. You know, and that's what religion does. And, you know, I went on from there. You know, it was a slow process, but right 2000, 2001, I got into a different band. It was a non-Christian band. It was a secular metal band, and they were pretty, you know, rough around the edges and pretty wild. Had a little evil twinge to them and stuff, and I started singing with them and writing different songs and kind of getting out of the whole Christian thing. And just slowly but surely, every year something else would add. I would get exposed to a different book or a different video or something else. And about the time, about 2007 or so, I publicly basically renounced Christ at a class reunion. It was like a multi years reunion, unofficial reunion at this big bar, and I was with there with my brother and a bunch of his friends and stuff. And I just basically said, it's all a bunch of bullshit. I renounce Christ. I don't believe in him. I'm not sure he even existed. Religion's a bunch of bullshit. Christianity's bullshit. It's made up. I just kind of went off. I was shit-faced when I said it, too. I had about 10 double bourbons in me, and I drank about 15 beers. I was completely shit-faced, but I did. I'll never forget it. I publicly renounced Christ about 2007. And then, that was about the time.
What was everybody's reaction to that, man?
They were aghast. Just the one girl was crying. She was like, crying, you don't mean it. She's like, don't say that. She's like, pat me on the back. She was like, God will forgive you. And, you know, they're sitting there drinking with me. You know, God will forgive you. You're okay. You're just having a crisis of faith. You'll be all right. And dude, I never turned back. I kept getting more and more. I was probably a stone cold agnostic at that point. And then every year it got more and more. I read more and more books. I seen more and more stuff. Everything just kept verifying what I was thinking long ago. And about the time, probably about 3 years ago, I basically said, you know what? I'm an atheist. I'm an atheist. I am. It was probably about a year. I think I seen it in like 2009 when I seen Zeitgeist. That was like the last nail in the coffin when I seen the Zeitgeist. And then I read like God is not great. And it just kept getting more and more. by the time right after God is not great, I was just like, I'm an atheist. I just know it. So
yeah.
That's where I'm at now. So
well, you know, man, that's an amazing story. To me, it still keeps going back to the concept of, you know, I guess our debate we had at the beginning of the show, and yeah, it's all personal. It's all the choices you make in your life, and you can't. I don't think you can blame, you know, that guy going off and killing his father and something you said to him years earlier. I mean, no matter what, you know,
right.
he made that deliberate choice himself, certainly not with you in the room, you know.
Well, that's
that was
saying.
The choice
that's
that
the
he
whole
made.
Thing, though. That's the whole thing about the free will thing with the Sam Harris book. We all play a part of that. We affect all that stuff. When I told him that he's fine, he's healed, you know, that affects him greatly. And I know,
well,
even though
know,
I know
man.
He,
it's almost like you're saying, hey, to somebody, hey, you know, go home. We'll talk in the morning. I'm getting tired. He goes out and he gets in a car crash and dies, just because you told
right.
the guy to go home. You know what I'm saying? That's a,
right.
a, you know, I mean, that's like
well,
that's
that
like saying
that
dude
way.
Walked out in of his front door in the morning and died, and it was my fault. I mean, that's just a decision he made that, you know, several years later. Whether he had some sort of influence on it or not, it is an influence of you know. That at the time you thought was well-meaning, you know?
Well,
and maybe that's the issue where you're at now.
Let me put this, that's exactly what I was just going to say. I was going to say, let me put it this way. I would not be an atheist right now if that wouldn't have happened. I'm pretty positive about it. I don't think I would have started going down the path of deconversion and losing my faith if that wouldn't have happened. It really... That was like the first big blow to my belief system was when that happened, when I found out about that. And it was weird because it didn't hit me right away. It kind of hit me years later where I really, you know, started thinking about it, and I just, you know, was just kind of mulling it over and contemplating.
I think you can recognize that, you know, that the faith healing aspect of it was bullshit without blaming yourself for his actions.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in itself, Brian, that's part of it is you're something that most religious people don't ever. I mean, you're taking responsibility. I think unduly, but taking responsibility
right.
for something you think that you did, and most religious people refuse to do that all the time anyway. And you know, most religious people, well, that's okay, you know, because I believe
right.
in Jesus, and it's you know and. And,
yeah,
you know, you're taking some sort of responsibility for something I don't think you should even consider. I mean, you know, that's like a butterfly effect, you know. Butterfly flaps its wings and, you know, a car drives off the road 10 minutes later from the ripple effects of it. You know, I mean,
right.
it, you know, man, it's a random pattern of events that's caused. And I don't know, man.
Yeah, he could have killed his father anyways without all that
sure.
happening, but, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Let me put it this way. When I was in a vulnerable, low time in my life, it hit me as I had a part in it. And it made
yeah.
me, it, what it did was it made me hate religion, and it made me really literally hate that and hate that attitude that I had at that time. It made me really think about what I was doing and really understand that it's not right. It's not right, and, you know, and then now I lean on that now to say, well, I will always fight against that. I will not promote that no more. I don't believe in it. I know it's bullshit. I know it to be true. Nobody's getting delivered from demons. Nobody's getting their, no amputees are growing legs and arms. It's all bullshit. It's a figment of your fucking imagination, and I will fight against it because it's unhealthy. It's bad for people. It's horrible for kids. To keep telling kids that they need to be saved and they need to be healed and they, you know, need to be converted. And, you know, with a child, to me, it's child abuse. So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, I agree with all that.
I
agree
right.
with all that for sure.
Right. Yep.
But, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I guess the hardest ones are the well-meaning people and I'll give you an example. You know, I've talked to her about her briefly as my stepmom. You know, she's in her 70s. She's getting pretty old. They were just down here for a visit this weekend. And she, about 20 years ago, she got brain cancer. and and she was had several operations. She's got this big ass scar in the back of her skull that runs right down to her to the top of her spine. And you know, they did three or four different surgeries on her, you know, and this was in the, you know, in the 80s, I think. I mean, you're talking 30, you know, probably a little more even barbaric than it is today, you know, certainly a little more archaic than it is today. And they after the last surgery, they couldn't get all the cancer out, or at least they thought they couldn't. And they told her that. They said, there's nothing more we can do for you. We're going to send you home for your last days, you know, basically to die. And she went home, and she got better, you know. And so she, you know, that's one of those where that's proof of God. You know, it's proof of God that she's still alive. She's had some terrible other things. She's had some bad accidents afterwards. And this is where, you know, you're looking for some help from something, you know. I guess I can almost understand when you're dying of brain cancer, but you know, she's even had some bad things happen afterwards. She got this car accident where her car broke down, and she flipped open the hood and was looking underneath the hood and got rear-ended.
Holy crap!
Yeah, that was after all the brain cancer and stuff.
Man.
But that, you know, of course, she doesn't attribute to God. You know, her making a miraculous recovery of cancer is, you know, all about God. The car accidents and stuff like that happened, you know, God doesn't have anything to do with that, or works in mysterious ways. She knows I'm an atheist, so we don't talk about religion to him, but she's been through some shit, dude. And she, you know, and so, I, you know, that's the point where, you know, I mean, it's a she's the nicest lady in the world, man. Nicest lady in the world. And
nobody's saying she's not nice.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, she's well-meaning, but she's misguided in terms of, you know, what her beliefs.
Why not give yourself some credit? Why not say, hey, I buckled down on my diet. I kept thinking positive thoughts. I took a lot of naps. I rubbed my temples. I tried to eat healthy.
Something.
I tried to... You know, I took the medicine they told me to take, and it reversed. Why not give yourself? Why does everything with Christianity? Everything has to be your fault. You're bad.
Yeah.
You're the one. You can't do anything right. You're deceitfully wicked and horrible and everything. And you know, and nobody ever gets any credit for nothing. You know,
it's not
your hard work while you're blessed. It's not because you work busted your ass is why you're doing financially. Oh, it's God blessed you. Yeah, God bless me. I'm busting my ass. That's how I'm financially blessed. I'm in a factory killing myself. That's how I got financially blessed.
Yeah.
You know?
It removes
the
self, man. It's like no personal responsibility and no personal credit. You know, no personal credit for things that you do for yourself to make yourself, your life better, your head better, the thoughts in your head better, you know, that change your life around, you know, that you don't get credit for that. And then, you know, when you go do things that quote unquote are sinning, you know, you're forgiving them for it. So there's no personal responsibility for it either. So it fucks you up. It makes you into a person that's, you know, it removes the self. You know, it removes the here and now from anything.
It's designed to keep you that way. It's designed for you to always be in need of salvation. As long as you're in need of salvation, you have to continue believing and have your faith and living according to what the Bible says. And, you know, and if you really step out and look at that, that looks a lot like control. You know?
Well, that's what it is. You become a perfect serf is what you are. You're a perfect slave to the, you know, to people who want to run the societies. I mean, the dudes
that run these mega churches, man, they all. I'm willing to bet they're every single one of them are atheists. I'm willing to bet every single one of them are atheists. I mean, they see this big cash rolling in from all these, you know, morons that sit in chairs nodding their heads in agreement every week with no matter what he has to say up at the pulpit, you know, these big ass mega church, 10, 15,000 people in this arena, you know, to praying for salvation from this dude that's filthy rich, you know, and the
joy and the swelling of their hearts and the butterflies they get in their stomach and the supposed Holy Spirit experience they're getting, you can get all that same stuff in a regular group, in a non-religious group,
meditation
on your own. I've gotten those same feelings that you get of joy and that swelling of your heart and that butterfly feeling in your stomach. I've had that same feeling and still had a total blasphemous, renounce Christ attitude, and I've still had those same feelings and that same, you know, what people think is the feeling of being saved and being loved by God and all that. You can have that same feeling. It's naturally within people.
When you got that much energy in a room with people, it's like a building full of hype men. You know, they're getting crunk. You know, you're feeling good. You're feeling good about everything that's going on around you. Only because you're in the church, you attribute that feeling
to God,
to a divine power, to God or Jesus or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it's only because, you know, you could get that, you go to a concert and get that energy, you're going to attribute it to the band on stage.
Yep. Or a sporting event even, man, a last second, you know, TD catch or something. Everybody's freaking out, whoa, yeah, you know. But I had plenty of those moments. And music does it for me, man. I mean, I can attribute all of those, you know, overwhelming feelings of euphoria and love and like you said, the swelling in your heart and you know, Crusher, what you're saying, man, you know, that you feel, you can definitely, there's all people in the same kind of groove and mind frame and it's something that's contagious and you definitely, you can get to those moments without believing in a leprechaun in the sky, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. But I seem to remember you telling me that was a long time ago, man. But I think you told me that one time. It seemed familiar for some reason about that dude. What's happening with him now? Do you know where he's at now? Is he still in jail or whatever happened to him?
Oh, last I heard years ago, he was in jail. He was in and out of Northville and mental institutions and stuff for a long time.
Yeah, see, one dude that probably should have stayed in a mental institution.
Yeah.
Now the jail's dealing with them.
That's what it is. Now the jails are.
Yep.
A lot of people that should be in mental institutions are in prisons now.
Yeah, just what we're talking about, man. So you know, another example of that's like the soft thing. It's all the social, quote unquote, social things that all these people, the Adam Lanzas and the dude that the drive-by shooter out in California and shit like that. I mean, they were in desperate need of mental health assistance of some kind, and never got it. You know, and it's so difficult to find nowadays unless you're, you know, fat rich and you can pay $200 an hour for someone or something that might help, you know, where you can send them away for a while.
Well, I'm not sure if he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, but those pictures, his mugshots, his eyes, he has those like schizophrenia looking eyes, and I'm not sure what he was diagnosed with or if he whatever it was, but he had those schizophrenia eyes. That's what I see when I looked at his pictures. He reminded me of the other guy that I had dealings with. So,
yeah, man,
yeah,
you can see definitely
you
see
can
a lot
see
of pictures of those crazy of those serial killers, man. You see pictures of them; they just look like they're ready to go out and kill someone. You know, I don't know if they try and find the scariest picture they can or what, but I mean, you know, a lot of those pictures. That Lanza, he looked crazy from the get-go. I mean, from an early age, he looked you know, incredibly dangerous.
Oh, he's got some serious shit on their mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you start hearing. You know, like the one guy I was dealing with, that had ended up killing his dad. He, you know, one time he told me after church, he said, I'm really having a rough time. I said, what's wrong? And he said, I'm hearing voices. I said, oh, boy. I said,
terrible.
And I said, what are you hearing? He said, I hear voices. He said, the devil, I hear the devil, I hear Jesus. He said, I said, well, what is the devil? What's the devil say? He says, it tells me to kill people and says bad things and stuff.
He said that to you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said,
oh,
he's
man.
You know, oh, yeah.
Holy.
And I said, he goes, I don't know what to do. I said, well, listen to Jesus.
He'll tell you what to do.
You know, yeah, he said,
maybe
he
Jesus
said,
told him to kill him.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I said. I told him to listen to Jesus. Then, you know, then we got God telling Abraham to kill his son. So then maybe we thought God was telling him to kill his dad. Who fucking knows, dude? That's what I'm saying. The stuff is so insane. And the Bible don't make no sense. It's madness anyway. So if you're schizophrenic and then you're trying to get guidance on that Bible, you're out of your fucking mind, dude. You're behind the eight ball right there. I mean, and then you're not in your right mind and you're reading the Bible for guidance. Shit, you're lucky you're not killing, you know, you're not becoming a mass murderer quicker, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so
you're taking guidance from some dudes that believe the earth was flat and, you know, that the sun revolved around it. You know, I mean, that's where your guidance is coming from. And, you know, I guess there certainly is, knowledge that should be passed on. You know, historical, ancient, whatever else that should be passed on. Maybe some that hasn't even, but to put it all into one book, you know,
right.
And to put all of your beliefs and everything into one book and believe that everything is based off of it is crazy. I mean, all it is God is Santa Claus or God is the Easter Bunny. They've just never been told. By enough people that it's not real.
Right.
You know, their parents haven't come and said, you know what, man, after a while, we were just kidding you about that.
Yeah.
We were actually the ones that gave you the presents. You know, we were the ones that actually made you believe that there was a God, not the, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. A woman's not going to have a baby without being impregnated by sex.
Right.
With a man's seed, they're not just going to be miraculously conceived.
Yeah.
And, you know, snakes don't talk, burning bushes don't talk, donkeys don't talk, people can't live in the bellies of whales, dinosaurs
don't
live on boats.
Magical illusion.
Right.
You know. Yeah, you know, my daughter's 9, and we've had quite a few talks about it, and I try not to. I keep telling her over and over, it's a personal choice, and you know, don't believe what I have to say. Look into it yourself, you know, and make those decisions yourself. But you know, we'll watch TV in the mornings before school and stuff just to get the weather, and even a snippet of National comes on, and like you know, the kidnapping of all those girls happened over in Africa, you know. And
right.
I was just like, man, it's all because of religion. And she looked at me all horrified, and I was like, you know, there's another example of religious fundamentalism. I didn't straight up, but I said, you know, that's a religious issue there. And she was all, why did that happen, you know? Well, religion, you know?
Yeah, the Bible.
I don't have an awe about it. If that's a religious issue, I'd tell her, you know. And then we'll be watching, like, Cosmos or something. And I'll be, I'll be like, so religious people don't believe any of this here, you know. They're
right.
Talking about how the earth forms and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
And so I try and at least give her an idea of this is kind of the perspective of it all, and you know. So I don't know, man. It will, you know. But I always preface it by, but this is all your own choice. You make your own decisions, and I have explained Christianity to her quite a bit,
right.
You know. But she seems to be choosing atheism. I don't know. I certainly don't want to force it on her, like, you know,
right.
Christianity is forced on so many people.
That's
well,
what
like I go ahead.
I've thought about that. You know, how to raise my daughter with all that. You know, and it's almost like even if you did, you know. If she did lean towards that, you know, and it was any of your doing, I can't really see that as forcing that on them, because really, I mean, you're simply telling them what you know we know to be true bullshit.
Stating facts,
you know,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I don't really think I don't think it's the exact same thing. I mean,
yeah.
They're getting honest answers versus being forced to believe what you know there is no evidence for, and we would be presenting. You know, the evidence or lack thereof for that certain claim or belief. So I don't think it's quite the same if you did, you know, say, hey, this is, you know, it's bullshit.
Yeah. That's true, man. I appreciate that because I think you're right there, and that's it. I mean, more than anything, you're just kind of stating facts. I certainly don't want to say this is the absolute truth either, too, or they'll, again, like religious people do. And some of, you know, obviously it's true that the Earth revolves around the sun, you know, but when you're talking about, say, string theory and these multiple universes and things like that that are still substantially theory, you know, you can't, well, you know, there are a lot of things are up in the air, and you can't prove it. Here are some of the things that we do know, you know, about fossils and about, you know, the Earth revolving around the sun and how it was formed and things like that, you know. And I kind of, I mean, maybe it is just the atheist in me, but I do point out those the contrariness of it compared to religion. And so I say, you know, religious people don't believe that, or religion causes that or whatever else.
And I certainly couldn't see taking my little girl to the Creation Museum and letting her, you know what I mean, and letting her have her choice there. You know, that'd be like sending her to a history class where they're teaching, you know, or geography, you know, that the world is flat. You know, there's something. I mean, we just know. I think we're so afraid not to look like the Christians or religious people and forcing the views on the kids that we kind of, you know, stray away from the fact that we really wouldn't be doing that, you know, because we could, show them the evidence, what's there and what's not there, and it's going to pretty much go towards atheism from there. I mean, we just got to get to a point where we need to teach our kids what's right, you know, by the scientific method and what we know, you know, what's been tested heavily.
Observable, provable, testable.
Take her
to the Natural History Museum. I would take her to the Natural History Museum if you can.
There you go. DC
and Chicago. They got
a good one there.
Fossil record, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm still just stunned, and obviously it's because of my atheism, but to have like a grown person go to that creationist museum and believe what's being shown in front of you. How can you? It's incredible to me. We had a give and take with some dude that went to our high school on Facebook. Me and Fester did a little ways back, and he was talking about how he visited it and how it all made sense. And it's just incomprehensible for me, man. I can't understand how as an adult human being you could go in there and see like people running around dinosaurs and they were test of the worthy and I don't get it. And it just shows how incredibly powerful religion is and self delusion. You know, to go into that place and believe it.
So Lewis Black said, I mean, basically, you know, what he said about, you know, there's people that literally believe that the Flintstones is a documentary. That's what the Creation Museum is.
It is.
They do. That's right, too. I guess he's right. That's true. I mean, people do believe that. Riding dinosaurs around.
Body!
Well, Mommy, what about those dinosaurs? Son, they're just testing your faith.
Right. The devil put the dinosaur fossils there. That's what it is.
Now, I've even heard to the point that the T-Rex had normal teeth until Eve bit the apple and created sin, and then I guess their teeth immediately got sharp. And they started killing everything.
Oh, man.
She bit the apple. That's not cute.
I guess, were dinosaurs pre or after Noah's Ark? Did Noah have to bring them on to a couple T-Rexes on there?
I think a lot of people believe that there were dinosaurs on the Ark.
Really?
Insane.
They kind of passed the unicorn off as the rhinoceros.
How can people believe it, man?
80-ton brontosaurus is on the Ark.
Oh, you want to hear what's on Conservapedia? Conservapedia says,
what is it, man?
How all the animals got, you know, spread across the continents and everything. Get this.
Right.
They were shot out of a volcano.
What is saying this?
No, that's on Conservapedia.
Conservapedia.
Yeah.
Conservapedia. Holy shit.
I gotta look that. I've never heard of Conservapedia. I'm gonna have to, that's gonna be good for a good chuckle or two.
Oh my god. Yeah, I have to really look at it and try to figure out if it's satire or not, because I can't. But then I've heard it confirmed from, you know, other Christians that they, that some of these answers are acceptable.
It's just incredible to me, man. It's leading to a general stupidity in this country. There's so many dumb people in this country, and they just choose to be ignorant. And it stems from religion. If you can believe that the dinosaurs were pets of humans, and they were shot from a volcano, and you know that they're all on Noah's Ark, you're just plain stupid. I don't care if Bible or not, God's word or not.
Right.
You know, it's a level of whether it's chosen or not. I mean, I guess some is stupid, some is ignorance because it's chosen to be, but you know.
Right. I agree. I don't know. So you want to change topics here? You got anything else, or you just want to keep hitting religion? Call us at 646-595-4686. What's that?
What happened to Hell Broke Loose?
I think he said that he worked late. He might not make it on. So I don't know. If you're out there, Lucy, call in. He's up on a mountain in the hills, so he doesn't have internet access very well. So he basically just calls in on the phone, but I don't think he's listening to us or has the ability to listen to us. So he's definitely a lone wolf up there.
I got wind of him a few months back. I started seeing some of his quotes and stuff, and I've seen a few of his videos, and he seems he's a pretty passionate guy.
Oh yeah, he's definitely passionate. That's for sure. Yeah. You can't question his passion. He's really locked into a group of people that are just the most ignorant, trolling, worthless, just horrible people that are in the Christian community. I don't even think most of these people that he battles, he does all these Facebook battles with all these people, and they're always getting his site shut down, and they're always, I mean, he's just constantly fighting these people, and I don't think, I think that most Christians would want to disown some of these people if they see some of the stuff that he's had his family threatened by these people. I mean, he came on here before and kind of talked about it a little bit, so I'm not talking out of class with any of it, but he's had a lot of bad stuff, and I've seen a lot of the stuff they posted on his sites and stuff. It's pretty sad. These guys, I mean, they're just fucking sifting some of the, they take pictures of him or his family and, you know, put dicks all over it and call him a faggot, gay lover and all this shit, because, you know, he supports gay rights and, you know, marriage rights and all that, and it's just stupid, man, how they are. They're so immature. It's just ridiculous.
Going after his family, man.
Going after his family.
I guess that's an acceptable thing among conservatives and religious people nowadays. I mean, Fox is doing it all the time now. They went after Bergdahl's family, and that's about as bad as it gets. I mean, not even the mafia does that shit. You know,
right.
I mean, they're going to take some loan. They just take him, and they don't go after the families, you know, that left alone. They go after the dude, you know.
Right.
Religion is just seems to be fascinated with people's dicks and what they do with them.
Yeah.
Right.
Or women's vaginas. One or both of them, you know. They want to control the vagina and where it's placed, what they do with it, what's done in a... You know, Hugh Hefner said, man, if you don't have any freedom in your bedroom, you don't have freedom anywhere.
Yeah.
Man, he's about as right as it gets. If you don't have, your own bedroom, man, then you're not free anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, it's such a, religion is, you know, all the books, you know, it's such an apparent man-made concept, because no woman would write about themselves, in the way that religion is set up to oppress them. They wouldn't, they wouldn't do that to themselves. You can definitely tell it was from the mind of a man, in control. Lots of alpha male tendencies and control over women, and just wanting to the man's world. That's what they, they were, we're bigger and stronger then. We didn't use our minds as well as we do now. You would never hear men talk the way we do back in the days the Bible was written. Standing up for women's rights and gay rights and none of that. That didn't. That was very punishable by death, and still is to this day because of religion.
Yeah, especially in some of the Arab countries, and women still, they don't have any rights.
If we went under a straight Christian Old Testament kind of rule, where we lived by the book, the same way Islam does with Sharia law, if that were to happen here in the States, and some of these Christians want that. Even Sarah Palin, she wants a government, based out of the Bible. And I don't think she's really, or maybe she has, really thought about the consequences of that.
Yeah, well, one of the things is she wouldn't be talking about it. She'd have to shut her pie hole,
Yeah, exactly,
She wouldn't have no job in the government. She wouldn't be working in the government.
Yeah, she just self-canceled herself. Is that really what you want? I mean, she doesn't, that's Timothy 2:1-12. A woman, has no authority over a man. She's not to teach or preach or any of that. And there's, I think there's two different parts. One of them says that's for the church, and then there's one that flat out, outright, which is Timothy 2:1-12. It doesn't say anything about the church. It's basically go make a sandwich. It's basically the gist of that verse.
Right. Yeah, and they, if you watch some of these, I lived in Dearborn, which has the largest Arab population in the country. We lived there for quite a few years. And you look at some of these Arab ladies, with they'll have the hijab on, the face covering and everything, and they'll be going through the same stores as you, Target and all these different stores.
Yeah.
And they'll have their little boys are with them, these little 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old little boys. They don't listen to their mothers. They just do whatever they want. They flail. They punch at them. The mother can't discipline them. They got to just sit there and let the kid do whatever they want, because the little boy is above the mother, is worth more and valued more than the mother. The mother is below, she can't tell the kid what to do. So only the dad can discipline the little boy. And I'm not sure if it's like that with all the different sects or whatever, but what I witnessed was a lot of really bad acting little boys. And when they kind of grow up that way, treating women that way, and they just dominate over them, and that's why you get so much. I mean, it's just that whole culture. It's weird,
It's designed for man.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think, they found some books, like the Book of Mary or something, that says that they were actually her and Jesus were married and had children. And I know they recovered, National Geographic, I think, did a story in the Book of Judas, where Judas was actually Jesus's chosen one. To out him,
right.
He chose Judas to out him and sacrifice, obviously himself on the cross and all that, and that was recovered. So, there are tens of thousands of different versions, and as time went along and man's running everything, anything good that had to do with women is taken out of the Bible. There's no power. Women are non. I looked up the exact phrase because I knew it was at Deuteronomy 22:29, and it talks about if a rapist, it says if a man finds a girl who is a virgin, who is not engaged, and seizes her, and lies with her, and they are discovered, then the man who lay with her shall give to the girl's father 50 shekels of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And she shall become his wife because he has violated her. He cannot divorce her all his days.
Yeah.
So the now isn't that a daisy? Condoning the rape.
Isn't that a daisy?
The rapist has got to pay 50 shekels to the father, and then the rape victim has got to get married to the rapist. All in all,
yeah,
one fast
yeah.
there.
Then you wonder why they're fucked up.
Right.
You saw that, Brian, right? When I was arguing with Patrick on my page, you know, he tries to apologize for everything in the Bible, apologetics and all that. And, he brought up the rape. I actually posted that verse he just read.
Really?
I tell you what, if you got to apologize for the Bible, you're going to be apologizing all day long.
You know, that's another thing.
Hey,
why do we have to fight?
I'm back in charge. I've got the board back. Woohoo! Finally, 20 minutes left of the show, and the fucking thing starts working. That's awesome.
Better late than never.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. Gonna saw some wood. All right.
Yeah, he's a guy on there I have to constantly battle with.
Right.
All around, I don't think he's not a bad guy. He's under the gospel, you know.
Yep.
I'll tell
the
him
guy,
that.
He's got the fog. He's in the fog.
I don't know if you know today, Fester, but the religious dude that we went to high school with that we talk about on occasion on Facebook, he posted something about be careful on social media who you offend, because there's actually flesh and bones behind that. Profile or something like that, you know.
I'm thinking all of these religious texts that he
posts on Facebook. He just is clueless that would even be offensive to anybody. He tries to be all light and airy about it, but in the end, man, there's still the deviousness behind it all. And the person that can't really quote any verses of the Bible because I don't think he believes them anymore. So he looks for modern inspiration from these modern theologians or just, whatever religious commentators instead.
He tries to get out of everything with free will. Like his excuse for everything is free will. Well, I mean, what free will did, the victim have and, during and after, everything that the victim has to go through now.
It's evil.
Yeah.
If they're perpetrating evil, then it's free will. If it's somebody being saved from some miraculous savior from a disease, then it's God's work.
So God gives us free will. God gives us free will so we can, rape people and
right.
I mean, why? It makes no sense.
Torture.
Because it's fun.
There's never any sympathy. There's never any sympathy for the victim. It's free will. That guy had a choice. Well, what did the victim have? So God basically gives us free will, knowing we're going to go out and use that free will. And some of the lower subspecies of humans will go out and rape people, but that's okay because you gave them free will to do that. So you again allow that to happen by giving them free will.
I can tell you what it is, Crusher. Well, you know what it is for. They gave him free will, so he is glorified. See, you can't see the master plan. You can't see from God's view. See, the person who commits the rape, he can get saved and get his sins forgiven through Christ, and then he gets saved, so he's glorified in that. And then the rape victim, after years of therapy and counseling, and she gets saved, and she believes in Christ, and Christ will deliver her from her fears of men and of situations of being alone with men and all that, and she can be healed, her mind can be healed. So then Christ is glorified in that, and God is glorified for her through her healing. See, that's all it is. It's a big fucking circle jerk of fucking people fucking each other over and killing and raping and putting mental anguish on people just so we can all, be a big fucking glorification of God and a big joke, for his pleasure. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about him getting the fucking glory and him, having us a bunch of rats in a fucking maze throwing shit down on us and letting us fuck everything up.
I need to pose to him is, okay, so going back to that verse again, so you have the victim and you're gonna blame the rape on free will. So you're admitting right there that that the rape is wrong. So therefore, why is it condoned you know, for that to take place if the person is to pay the father cash money and then have to marry that person and never divorce them. I mean, where's the –
Right.
How can you justify that? So you're saying the rape was wrong because it was free will. He had the free will to make the wrong decision, yet the wrong decision is not looked at as
rewarded.
Because all you have to do to get out, it's rewarded. You're like, cool, I get to rape whoever I want, and just, you know, the bitch will have to marry me now, and she can never leave, you know.
Right. You just find the hottest chick you can find. You got your 50 shekels or whatever the hell you got to pay him. You rape her, and then now you got a hot wife. There you go.
Hot wife. Yeah, well, or just, you know,
I mean,
rape woman just going to marry
the wrong era.
Because you're forgiven.
I'm living in the wrong era. I always tell
it's
I call Morticia my
bullshit.
Wife. I told my wife Morticia that. I said, I always said, I'm living in the wrong era, man. I should have been a Neanderthal back, you know, whatever, 6 billion years ago or millions of years ago. I could just blast a bitch in the head with a club and drag her by her hair, and I'd be, like, killing guys, stealing their food, you know, eating brontosaurus burgers or whatever.
Carrying women around by their hair and shit, you know, dragging them around by their hair.
Chicks that look like Raquel Welch. I bet your wife loves that, man.
I bet she loves hearing that, huh?
A chick that looks like Raquel Welch from the 6 billion BC in the fur bikini. You know, she's all dirty but all super hot. You're just dragging her around by your hair. Yeah, that's great. What a life.
And, you know,
I'm dying at 30 years old of my teeth.
You look at these apologists and what they're actually doing. I actually touched on it on Facebook and everything, too. As an apologist, you know, what exactly is your job? Your job is to apologize for all the horrible things in the Bible or interpret them with sugar on top, you know, to convince people that everything in there is truly good. What kind of God needs a public relations person? You know what I mean? You're a PR person for a deity. You know, the deity can't speak for himself. He can't fight for himself.
Nope.
The deity can't do anything at all. It has to be, you know, coming out of our big
fat
mind.
All loving, but he needs PR people.
Exactly.
And he needs money, lots and lots of money.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
If you're an apologist, out there and you're listening to me right now, you need to take a good look at yourself and what you're doing because it's disgusting.
Right.
Here's a good one.
This is Psalm 137:9. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock.
I've heard that one explained.
Take the kids
so
and smash them. Yeah. I mean,
I live with a very dangerous woman.
It's like when these apologists start doing this, you're looking at it, and like, are you even reading from the same book? I mean, what point do we get to where the words start changing to a whole different meaning while you're interpreting it? I mean, I'm reading it as you're paying the father 50 shekels for raping.
Right.
How is it out of context? How more transparent can that be?
And then you got to marry her. She's got to marry you, based more.
And anybody that goes out there and tries to justify that, you try to justify the rape in the Bible, you're a sick individual and you disgust me.
Here goes back. Right. This goes back to the misogyny and stuff. And it's I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She is to keep silent. And that's 1 Timothy 2:12.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. Yeah.
You know, right there in itself, man, you know, be quiet.
Well, you're taking that out of context. I mean, what do you think, what's her nuts would say, what's the red-haired old lady? It's got Joyce Meyer's got millions and millions of dollar ministry, 10 mansions to private jets. She'd be like, well, you're taking that out of context. I think I actually heard her preach a sermon about that verse. And about the whole thing about women being silent in the church. And she just, I mean, she danced around that. It was hilarious. I was like, man, and this is back when I was a believer, too, and I even kind of was questioning it the way she was preaching. I was like, man, I don't know if she's really convincing me about this. It was just such bullshit what she was preaching. I'm like, she don't even believe her own Bible. You know, she don't believe it.
Well, she says some of them.
I mean,
not outrageous things too.
Right. She's making all that money, man. So it's her business to try to make it look like she can preach. You know.
Yeah, it's no different than a palm reader or anything. They got to keep convincing to keep the money rolling in. You know, and if they try the same thing otherwise, they're full of shit. I'll tell you to your face, you're full of shit. Fred Durst, Joshua guy on Facebook, he's full of shit.
Yep.
Everything he's saying is full of shit. And they got to know it. I mean, you can't really debate those kind of people and get anywhere with them. You have to debate those people for the audience that are listening. You know,
right.
He's in it for what he's in it for, and it's not going to change.
It promotes cannibalism. Listen to this one. And I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and all shall eat the flesh of their neighbors in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies and those who seek their life afflict them. Jeremiah 19:9.
Now, is that relating to what will happen in hell, or?
It's if you don't listen to God. If you're disobedient, then that's what happens.
Right. You're going to eat the flesh. There was
and
one I was going
to. Here's the one advocating slavery. Slaves, except, and this is where the whole sheep philosophy comes in, of course, the flock paradigm also, but this is the direct quote. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. For it is to your credit if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. 1 Peter 2:18.
Right.
They're saying, suck it up, motherfucker.
Right.
Yes. You know,
and
I
then,
think
and then
Mother Teresa lived by that, probably. She was
advocating slavery.
Sadist. And then there's all types of scriptures that basically say that, you know, God doesn't lie, and then there's scriptures that says he does lie, like right out. You got like Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it, or hath he spoken and shall not make it good? Well, then Ezekiel 14:9, he says, and if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him in the midst of my people Israel. So, I mean, you got God right there admitting that he deceived the prophet. You know, and I'm sure they'll say, well, you take that out of context. But I don't understand how you could take it out of context. I mean,
it's what it says.
Yeah, and then when you argue these guys, especially them Hebrew guys on there, they'll say, well, you're not reading in the original language. They'll say, deceived doesn't really mean deceived. It means slightly misled. It's just some stupid shit.
Some
no, I'm not kidding. That's how they do it.
Here's a good way to trip them up. You know, ask them first. You know, do you believe that everything in the Bible, word for word, is true and accurate? And they're going to tell you yes. Then flip
yes.
to something.
Is
you know,
it the word of God?
If
they say yes,
and then
they'll, well,
yeah,
look at God. Look at that
motherfucker. Try to change it. They'll try to change it, and I'll be like, and that's when you stop them, and you tell them, no, you just said everything in here, word for word, is literally true and accurate. You can't change it now.
Yeah.
And the, you know, then they'll start stuttering, and, you know.
They'll say, well,
that's
just a metaphor. That's a metaphor, or that the famous one I've been hearing all the time now is, you don't understand the original language. I actually did an original language study in a lot of the New Testament in Greek, and it is true a lot of the words are not what they are in the English translation. Words are different. It does change the meanings a lot. But I mean, my whole thing is if you got to be able to speak Greek and Hebrew or fucking Aramaic to understand what's going on, then what, you know, what good is the, then God isn't powerful enough to have his word in English. I mean, you know, and the only people that can read the original languages know what God is actually saying. So they're the only ones that are to be saved.
Just like Joseph Smith when he all his lies in the beginning of the Book of Mormon when he's talking about the angel Moroni or whatever coming down and giving him all these gold plates translate from, and you know, and, but then Angel had to take them back, so there's no proof those ever even existed. But, you know, you just think, you know, if anybody just take 10 seconds to think about that, why is this angel going to come down and give you something that you have to fucking translate? You know,
right.
It should already be, you know, everybody that speaks a different language, an angel should be going down there handing them every, you know, the
They'd
word
be able
of
to
God
understand it automatically,
every
right? They wouldn't even need a goddamn transcript in front of them. They'd automatically be able to understand it if that was the case.
And we all speak different languages from God anyways.
Yeah.
God caused
right.
it. That's how I'll babble.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's why we're supposedly, you know, that's why we're speaking different languages now. So it's his fault to begin with.
Yeah, so, you know, he's omnipotent, but you know, you can't translate anything.
Here's
the last
one. Give it up, money.
This is a good
you're
one.
Leave it to, you're gonna leave it to man's. Go ahead.
Elisha turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them. In the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths.
Yeah, I'm estranged.
23 and 24.
I'm estranged from one of my cousins now because of that verse. He actually tried to.
It's symbolic, right? It's not actually bears mauling, being called to maul on kids. And the only reason they were called on, it says below here, the prophet Elisha is on his way to Bethel when a bunch of youths start teasing him. Go on up,
right.
You bald head. He gets teased, so he calls bears out of the woods to maul him.
Hey,
yeah,
what
the fuck is that about, you know?
Your cousin's name wasn't Ted Nugent, was it?
Nah, shit. You know, you're omnipotent, but you're going to leave everybody's salvation is depending on you, and you're going to leave it to man's fallible word to translate some shit. You know,
right.
You know, if you just think about that for not even 10 seconds, maybe 5 or 6, you should be able to completely throw the whole entire notion of whatever, you know, Christianity right out the window.
Yeah.
Just from that right there, it's nonsensical. It's
crazy.
Right.
Well, there it is.
All
right. Got your story, man. It's good to hear. Maybe we can talk about it again some other time. It wasn't that bad, dude. I don't even agree with you on the causes, but it was a good,
yeah,
good show.
Yeah, hearing that. I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting close. We got a couple minutes to go, but yeah, guys, probably just wrap it up for tonight. But once again, thanks for calling in, Crusher, and carrying a lot of religious topics and stuff. And we'll keep fucking beating it till that horse dies.
Hammer it away.
Yeah. All the way.
We'll keep kicking it. And hopefully next week we'll get some different callers calling in too. And download the show. The show's in the archives if you want to hear this show. Download the shows. We got all our shows. I think this is our 11th show. And keep cranking along. And
keep making the donuts, man. Keep making the donuts.
Keep making the donuts. We're going to get fucking crazy next week. Maybe we'll hit a little more different topics next week and maybe get a couple different callers in. But we're always, our default is always religion, man. And faith and all that. We'll, if people call in and they want to talk about that, we'll hit it too. And if you want to debate, call in. We'll let you get to say your piece, but we'll say our piece too. So, believers, I challenge you, believers, call in. The Splinter Fish, we're leaving, right? Dennis, we're done?
Yeah, that's it. Splinter Fish.
That's it.
All right, thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Crusher. Splinter Fish.
All right, man.
Both DB and me.
Yo, yo, yo.
Bye.
I'm here.